opportunity to be here. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to ask you all to not see me, but to look beyond me and try to find the Christ in me. Amen. Amen. As I thought about coming before you this morning, I thought about all of the young ministers in our midst that God has blessed to be able to express their gifts to the Lord. I thought about my son-in-law, brother, Minister Isaac Gibbs, that sat in church and nobody knew all of the God that was inside of this man. I thank God because he delivered the word and the word touched my heart. And I am in awe of you, Minister Gibbs. Amen. I thank you for all of just the support that you've been to Agape Apostolic Church. Amen. And as I think about Minister Lewis, amen, who delivered such a mighty message, I'm just grateful to God because I hadn't been around him. I knew him when he was a child, but I watched him grow up and had sort of lost contact with him. But when he walked through Scott, I'm sorry, what am I calling him? Alger Scott, I'm sorry. As I saw him walk through the doors of the church, you know, my heart just was rejoicing. And he has been a jewel that we have found in reaching out to the young people.
Abuse. Hallelujah.
I thank God because going on here. I'm calling out you, Brother Andre. Brother Andre, when you walked through those doors.
Amen.
And you decided that you had a purpose for God.
Yes.
That your job was to be what it says in Acts 2:38, that we're called to be witnesses.
Yeah.
Okay? We're called to give it to those that are far off. We're called to go around and spread the word. If it wasn't for you, Brother Deacon Solomon wouldn't be here.
From her 5-year-old brother,
who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed the antibodies needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked the little boy if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister. Jane saw the little boy hesitate for only a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, "Yes, I'll do it if it will save her life." As the transfusion progressed, he lay in the bed next to his sister and smiled when he saw the color return to her cheeks. Then his face grew pale and his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, "Will I start to die right away?" You see, being young, the little boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought he was going to have to give his sister all of his blood in order to save her, and he feared this would result in his own death. Yet and still, his love for his sister was so great that even as young as he was willing to give the ultimate sacrifice, which was his life. We're taking our scripture from Psalms 116, verse 12. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" What shall I render unto the Lord? Can we stand, please? Hallelujah. I want you to think about that question. What shall I render unto the Lord? Think about everything that God has done for you and ask yourself that question. Hallelujah. What shall I render unto the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to take our scripture from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. If you all could read it with me, and then we're going to pray all together. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judge righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." May we bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, O God, right now, as your humble servant, O God, I ask you that you come into this house, Lord Jesus. We ask that you anoint your word, O God. Lord Jesus, let it reach somebody out there that needs to know, God, that you are an everlasting God, that you are a God that saves, that you are a God that heals, that you are a God that delivers, that you are a God that will find you where you're at. Oh God, we ask, oh God, that you help the people, oh God, to receive your word, to not look at me as the messenger, oh God, but to listen to the message of the cross. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. First of all, I want to give honor to the Most High God. I want to give honor to our pastor, Pastor Elder Camp. I thank God for him. He's been a constant source of strength for me. As I've gone on this journey, I couldn't ask for a better situation. We've had our ups and downs, but through it all, God has been there, and he's brought us to this place for this time. And I am just grateful for him. I watched him. He spoke at Free Spirit on Thursday evening, and we had a wonderful fellowship there. And during the time that he spoke on, the message was, "Don't faint, pray your way through." I thank God, because there were many times in our life that if we didn't know the God of our salvation, we could have fainted. The scripture says, "I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So many of us can relate to that, amen? Hallelujah. I thank God because Pastor LaFave invited us into his trailer, his camper there. He's really proud of his little camper. And we sludged through the wet grass and went on back up there. And it was nice and quaint and everything. And as we sat there, Pastor LaFave passed Elder Camp a folded check. And he said, "Here." And I watched my husband, the example that we should follow. I watched him take that check without even opening it, and he ripped it up in front of Pastor LaFave's eyes. He said, He said, "I didn't come here for that. You can't put a price on God's word." He said, "God's word was freely given to me, and freely I give it to you." Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor LaFave was like, "No, but Pastor Camp, all the other pastors took it, all the, you know, because they had it all." Four-day session, and different people came up to speak, and he gave them their check. And you know, it's not bad to accept a check for, you know, when you preach or whatever, because it gets sewn into the ministry of that particular church. But Pastor Camp said, "We came to be a blessing to you." Hallelujah! I thank God for that example in him. I love him. I thank God just for being able to be by his side. So often I've been running from this whole situation when somebody mentioned to him, you know, "We want you to be pastor." I was like, don't even go there. I am not gonna be a pastor's wife. Well, long story short, here I am. Here I am, thank you, Jesus, and I'm grateful. And my question this morning, is it still morning? My question this morning is, what shall we render unto the Lord? Okay, taking our scripture that we just read, we're going to talk about the name of Jesus Christ. It evokes many images in the minds of people. Some picture him as a baby in a manger, the Christ of Christmas. Others picture him as a child, perhaps living in the home of a carpenter or confounding the religious leaders of Jerusalem. Many picture him as a compassionate and powerful healer who healed the sick and raised the dead. Right, Brother Fred? Healed the sick, amen. 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 He's been a healer in my life, right, Sister Kim? Hallelujah. We've got so many people today that have been a recipient of the healing power of God. Still others picture a bold and fiery preacher speaking the word of God to great crowds. Hallelujah. And there are those who see him as the consummate man, a model of goodness, kindness, sympathy, concern, care, tenderness, forgiveness, wisdom, understanding, and trust in God. Yet, the one image of Christ that surpasses all the rest is Jesus Christ on the cross. I love to sing the song, "The Blood of Jesus." I know it was the blood because it was the blood that flowed from Calvary to save a wretch like me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." 1 Corinthians 2:2. To know Christ crucified is to know him as the author and finisher of your faith, the truest picture of his person, human flesh and work. See, God, in spite of what the Trinitarians say, God the Father, God the Holy Son, God the Holy Ghost are all one. Hallelujah. And how God came in the form of human flesh to save and to die on that cross for us is remarkable. Hallelujah. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Hallelujah. We're to follow his pattern. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to talk to you about what the pattern is. Greek word translated example, hupogrammos, refers to a pattern that is placed under a piece of paper to be traced. How many of us have had children that have gone to school and they're learning how to color? And the teacher tells them, draw the outline of the picture. And then once you start coloring the picture, stay within the lines of what you've drawn, okay? And sometimes they go out of the line, and we tell them, stay within the line. The example of being a pattern for God, God Christ being our pattern, we're supposed to follow after his footsteps, okay? Like little children who learn their letters using tracing paper over a pattern, we are to trace our lives according to the pattern Jesus Christ has laid down for us. How do we follow his pattern? We follow his pattern by walking in his steps. Steps translates the Greek word eichnos, which refers to a track or line of footprints. We're to walk in Christ's footprints because his was a righteous walk. It was also a walk of unjust suffering, which is part of the walk of righteousness. Some suffer more than others, but all who follow after Christ experience some suffering. As I listen to the testimonies this morning, I'm hearing testimonies of victory. Victory of overcoming some form of suffering. Different ones have gone through things in their life. They've gone through, Brother Fred testified about how God miraculously restored some disc in his back. That was truly a miracle. Hallelujah. And the pain that I used to see on his face as he walked through that door, he suffered. Hallelujah. Different ones of us have suffered because in our walk with God, God is trying to get us to go one way, and we want to go another way. God is nudging us along with our trials and our tests and our tribulations, saying, my daughter, my son, yield over to me. Trust me. I will lead and I will guide you if you trust me. And because he chose us before the foundation of God, he has a work for us to do. And when we get out of line with the work or the plan that God has called for us to do, then sometimes God has to allow trouble to come upon us. And when he allows trouble to come upon us, he tells us to fear not, little flock. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. And I thank God, because when God allows us to go through a trial and a test, it's not to our demise, it's only to make us stronger. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, some people have a misgiven notion. They think that because a person is going through something, like a sickness or an illness, and they're struggling, they think that that person is not in God's will. That is not true. God's will is for you to go through it and to go through it and to go through it until he brings you out of it. Recently, and you see the prisoner come up and they stand before the judge, And within ourselves, we don't know whether that person is guilty of the crime that they committed. So their future, whether they're free or whether they have to serve a sentence, is in the hand of the person sitting on the seat judging them.
Right.
I thank God that we serve a God that is a judge of all judges, because He knows the beginning from the end. Hallelujah. I thank God that when the secular judge or the worldly judge could judge wrong, our God, because He knows our heart, because He knows everything that we do, He will judge us righteously. Hallelujah. I thank God, because as my husband was standing up here talking about, they said I wouldn't make it. Our Lord, and would have been prominent in Peter's mind because he personally witnessed his Lord's pain, though from afar. Hallelujah. Christ's last words on the cross show us trust in God. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Our Lord was confident in the righteous judgment of God and the glory that would be his, that allowed him to calmly accept tremendous suffering. When we're going through our trials and our tests, are we confident in God, that God's going to bring us through? When we're suffering and going through the situations in our life, Sister Antoinette, when we're going through the situation when a loved one is hurt, or when God's trying to get our loved one's attention, hallelujah, because her brother knows the Lord. Her brother wasn't raised out there in the street. Her brother was raised in God. So God's trying to get his attention. And we pray, Lord, nudge me along, but have mercy on me. Hallelujah. I thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the way we're supposed to respond when confronted with unjust persecution on the job or in our families or other relationships. Hallelujah. When we retaliate, we forfeit the blessing and reward that suffering is meant to bring. It shows us we lack the confidence we ought to have in God's ability to make things right in His own time, which will include punishing the unjust and rewarding those who are faithful in suffering. We don't have to worry about getting revenge. We don't have to worry about rendering evil for evil, because God's got our back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And for this reason, knowing all that Christ went through, I ask the question once again. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think about this question, and I want you all from the depths of your heart to ask this question. After I'm done, I'm going to say, what shall I render unto the Lord? I want you from the depths of your heart to ask God, what shall I render unto the Lord? All together, what shall I render unto the Lord? It's a question you're asking God because you truly want to be in God's favor. You truly want an opportunity to render unto God love and peace and joy because of all that God has done for you. Is God not worthy? Is God not worthy of needing you to want to give back? Hallelujah. What are we willing to sacrifice? Think about it. You can open your eyes now. What are you willing to sacrifice for God? There was one little poem that I used to teach to the kids when they were real little. I don't know if they remember it. It was around Christmas time, and you know, I just wanted them to think about God and Christ and what, you know, they could do for Christ. And it said, what shall I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. But what shall I give him? I'll give him my heart. What are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to give up those relationships that have been negative? Those relationships that have been tearing us down for a long time, when God has been trying to get our attention and we've been so wrapped up worrying about him or and that relationship, holding on to it, what are we willing to sacrifice? How do we repay the debt of Calvary? Is there any way we can ever repay God's sacrificial death on Calvary? Hallelujah. We can't just give God anything. In Genesis chapter 4, it's the story of Adam and Eve. And we know the story that Eve conceived Cain, and then she conceived Abel. Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Has God ever said to you, why are you upset? Why are you angry? What are you mad about? And he went on to say, and why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If we do the will of God, shall we not be accepted? If we're walking in the way of God, shall not God be pleased? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall he be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Hallelujah. God insists that we give him what he wants. In Isaiah verse chapter 1, verse 13, this was a message to the children of Israel. They had been wandering in idolatry, and they just wanted to give God any old thing that they wanted. And this is the words of God. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and Sabbath and your appointed feasts, my soul hated. Can you imagine? God said, my soul hated them. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Sometimes in our offering up to God, God is so disturbed by what we're offering him. We just want to give God any old thing, any old time, any old how. What shall we render unto the Lord? Hallelujah. As we think about what our goal should be as far as a gift offering unto God, we should think about what things we can get rid of as far as things in our life that are unpleasing to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In order to please God, we must walk in the Spirit. Romans 8, 1 through 9. In order to please God, we must have faith. We must be willing to deny ourselves and pick up our own personal cross. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. We must reciprocate the love and sacrifice of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. What is reciprocation? Reciprocation is, Sister Marie, I do for you. I do for you. And what do you do for me? I don't expect anything, but what do you think you should do for me? The same. Hallelujah. When God reaches out and does for us, should there be reciprocation? Should we show God that we're grateful for what he did for us? Or should we just say, oh, and take it for granted, just another day that the Lord has kept me? It doesn't matter. He's kept me from all evil, but I can just go and do my own thing. I can just go out and do whatever I want to do and just ignore God. We should reciprocate. Hallelujah. The sacrifice of Christ. And as I thought about this message, I thought about the woman, Mary, with the alabaster box of oil. It was a priceless and precious oil that she gave. And as I, you know, sometimes we're praying here and the song comes on, you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. And the song goes on to say, you don't know the cost of all of my pain. You weren't there when Jesus found me and he put his loving arms. Bible scholars. There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here below. In other words, no cross, no crown, hallelujah. And then there's one that said he came to pay a debt he didn't owe, because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Thank you, Jesus. He came to pay a debt he didn't even owe, because we owe a debt that we couldn't pay. Thank you, Jesus. And Oswald Chambers, all heaven is interested in the cross of Christ. All hell is terribly afraid of it, while men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meanings. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's deep. Thank you, Jesus. People in heaven, they've already made it. People in hell, they know they have yet to face the lake of fire. And we're here and we're ignoring the cross. Thank you, Jesus, and its meanings. We need men of the cross, with the message of the cross, bearing the marks of the cross. And this was another Bible scholar, Vance Havner, who has made his mark in terms of all of the different biblical scholars. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus paid it all. What will you give in exchange for your soul? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin have left its sin, I don't know how all the words go. A crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. How many of us have been redeemed by the blood of God? Thank you, Jesus. We've been redeemed by the blood of God. Hallelujah. Could you stand with me as I ask Elder Cam to come forward?
Amen.